Hello, welcome to the catch up. Got to tell you, it's my favourite thing when Ed Cavalli goes super sleuthy, goes undercover, and you did that today, mate.
Yeah, that's right. You'll hear from the inside the Origin camp of the Blues, their first team meeting, which is really insightful, just where their heads are at, which is nice. Also, you're going to hear some lovely stuff from Marto, you asking the Maroons team whether or not they read the blogs of other footballers' wives. It's a great chat, that is.
What about, actually, there was a bit of footy on today. You had you were giving me advice on the night that Hilly met Aaron Woods and whether or not...
I'm going with that he was being honourable. I'm just holding on to that.
That's
just,
what I'm hoping.
Both based on one question here or one statement he made. But anyway, you can have a listen and make your own mind up.
Yeah, absolutely right. There's that. Also talking about should life skills be taught in schools. That was a good one. That was very interesting to hear that people leaving school not knowing how to look at an invoice or anything like that. So some good ideas around that.
Give you the hot tip as well. Tomorrow is the last time $2,000 is up for grabs with the Instant Scratch. It's Mega Money Pressure Test. You can play. You have to do it live. Obviously, we can't do it on the catch-up. So it's just before 8:30 tomorrow on Brisbane's Triple M. Enjoy the catch-up.
This Marto, Ed and Robin catch-up for sellmycar.com.au. Sell your car without the aggro. Book an appointment today. 104.5, the new Triple M.
As you know, we have always been about balance, Robin Bailey. And since you've joined us, I think you've seen that we're fair and we're balanced. And the Blues, the New South Wales Blues team, are secluded away in a hotel. I think it's on the Central Coast, isn't it, Mark?
No, they're up at Kingscliff. It's Salt there.
Kingscliff. Sorry,
yeah, they're not far over the border.
Okay. And they had their first team meeting with Coach Laurie Daly. And I was lucky enough. Well, I snuck in. I snuck in and I hid a recording device at the New South Wales Blues' first official team meeting, and this is what happened.
Okay, everyone, gather around and welcome to the first New South Wales Origin team meeting of 2017. No cheers. Okay, my name is Laurie Daly. I'm the coach, and the first item on the agenda is I do not dye my hair. The second item on the agenda is I do not dye my hair, and it is not a hairpiece.
Oh.
Good. All right, well, there are some new faces here and some old ones and some people with natural hair colour, so let's have some introductions.
My name's Aaron Woods. I've got long hair and I wear a headband that's for a six-year-old girl and I forgot the rest.
All right, thank you. Jeez, good start. Oh, jeez. Sorry, I've tripped over Andrew Johns.
Oh, I've remembered. I've also got a beard.
Fantastic. Thank you, Aaron. All right, next up, it's the return of Mitchell Pearce.
Oh, no,
fantastic.
Oh, thank you, Laurie. I'm back. I'm a changed man. Last year I had an unfortunate incident with a dog. Now, I should say that the dog started it, a bloody sexy beagle, but I promise I will never attempt to make love to a canine again.
Oh, good one.
Got him,
I'm out on bail. Fantastic. Here. Thanks very much, Mitchell. Do you promise? You promise you'll never try it with a dog again?
No, I do not promise. I am who I am.
Okay, fine. We'll take what we can get. Blake Ferguson.
Hey, g'day. It's Blake Ferguson here. You know, I'm getting a tattoo right now. It's of a motorcycle riding an eagle. And it's on fire.
Is there a dog in there?
G'day, it's Andrew Fafita here, and I am a genuinely awful individual.
Yes, we know that, Andrew. Thank you. Anyone else?
How's it going, guys? It's James Maloney.
Yes. Good way to kill the vibe, James. Terrible. All right, all right. David Clemmer, you're up.
Oh, yeah, g'day. My name's David Clemmer. From the Bulldog. I got a shaved head, and what I did was, on the way here, I filled up like 20 empty chip packets with wee-wee. You know, them tall ones, the Pringle ones, and I ate 7 of them. But the others, I threw into the Burger King drive-thru.
No, David, sit down. That's a terrible story.
I yelled, fire in the hole.
That's disgusting. Stop that, David. Please, sit down.
Fire in the hole.
Jesus, David, that just missed me. God help me. Next.
Yeah, with 3 cheers for James Maloney.
Hello, my name is Jared Hayne, and I have a dream.
Oh, no, not another one.
Not a dream.
Hillsong sent me back to Slave Origin and to only make $1 million doing it.
Andrew Fafita here. I had a dream once, and when I woke up, my sheets were all covered in...
No, Jesus, don't tell that story. Oh, for goodness sake. Is there anyone in this team that's not a complete flog?
Not really.
James Maloney.
You know, Josh Dugan. I've only been arrested, I don't know, a few hundred times.
Don't tempt me, you. Don't tempt me, you sexy beagle.
Fire in the hole. Oh, yuck. David Clemmer, that one hit me in the hair.
Oh, yuck. That smells of asparagus.
Oh, no. My very real non-dyed hair is melting. It's attaching to my head. It's starting to look like Dale Shearer. Meeting adjourned. Go Blues.
That's a madhouse cavalry.
Dale Shearer got to run.
Okay, this is really interesting. There's been a global financial study of teenagers and found that teenage girls outsmart boys in managing money. Now, in the in most countries around the world, except for Italy, China, and the US, 15-year-old girls are outperforming boys in things like managing money, focusing on it, what to do with it. But interestingly, in Australia, one in five teenage kids flunked the test, which asked them to interpret pay packets, compare prices, and understand terms such as invoice and bank error.
Because they've never seen any of that stuff.
Well, and this is my point, Marto.
What?
Why don't we have in schools, like, life lessons? And, you know, I've got a kid in year 10, I've got a kid in year 12, and I've got one in year 7. And I know the stress that kids are under in the senior years of school. But I actually think it's compulsory that my kids know how to cook, they know how to do stuff. And yes, I take responsibility for that. I am a parent. I understand that. I'm not great with financial stuff. Since my husband died 2.5 years ago, I had to have a crash course and sort it. If you learn it in school.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Oh,
hey, why do we need to go to school? All right, I'll put it to you. Ed and I have had this discussion previously. Everything you need to know in the whole wide world is in your phone. Every answer to every single question is in there, okay?
Right.
No need to go to school anymore apart from social skills. But I'm with you. Instead of stupid English plays like Othello and stuff like this, what is the use of any of that? Go and learn how to drive. Learn how to change your car, your water, everything else. Learn how to cook. I'm with you. Learn about investment. Learn how to be a handy person. How to change a light bulb. I watched a 34-year-old bloke the other day couldn't change a light bulb.
Well, that's my problem. I have to call handy people in all the time, and partly because I'm
a
short ass.
Do a spread of all that, things that make you useful in life, and every answer to everything else is in your phone.
What do you reckon, Ed?
I think it's an absolutely great point. I think that I remember when I was at school, you could do like sort of home economics or whatever it was called, but it wasn't really cooking and it wasn't, you know, people were worried
about
their marks.
Wasn't that for girls though only?
Well, no, boys could do it. Yeah, it's just they didn't choose to.
Didn't choose to, right.
I maybe the one point, and as I said, I've got a son who's in year 12, you know, he's already under a lot of pressure with his other subjects. But I still think there is a point where it's like maths, English, and life skills.
I've just watched two kids finish grade 12. Now, if you ask me, what percentage of everything that they did in their last 2 years at school will they use throughout their life? And you think about your own life. If it's 15% of anything you learn at school that you use as you make money and go through your career, it'd be lucky. So there's a lot of wasted time at school that could be used learning about life.
Should they be teaching life applicable skills in school? We're talking about managing money. We're talking about, you know, basic handy work. We're talking about that type of thing.
How to gamble.
No.
But teach them how to gamble so at least they go, when they're old enough. Responsibly. Yes. That's right.
Ooh.
Have drinking lessons.
How to drink.
Have, you know, going, listen, have an experiment. There's a school has done this recently, actually sat them down and gave them 2 drinks, 3 drinks, 4
really?
Drinks. This is what happens to you if you drink too much.
And how to shout.
That's
what is
that's gold.
Should they be teaching life skills in school? And if so, which ones? Which ones do you think they should be teaching in school?
Who's this? Shakira?
Hi, Shakira from Jimboomba. Now, how old are you?
I'm 22.
Okay.
Great. So you graduated a few years ago.
Yeah.
And tell us, what's your experience?
I've only used maybe 15% of my schooling at home economics. And my business administration that I did.
Business administration seems to be a really good subject. What did you learn when you did that?
It's more just like office work, reception,
so
you know, that
stuff.
Sort of stuff. Yeah, but most of my life skills I learnt from home. My parents aren't that, you know, they're not very well educated. You know, growing up in the country, but I learnt most of my stuff from home, just like, you know, how to look after my car, how to do things around the house, you know.
There you go.
What do you reckon school could do better in terms of introducing more lessons in things?
I think a whole subject of life things, like, you know, what a mortgage is, and, you know, how to pay off a finance, or how to get good credit, or how to be good with money, you know, that sort of stuff.
Hmm. Yeah, I agree. Rather than leave it up to the meerkats.
Thank you, Shakira. Brendan is from
Simples.
Simples.
You may, unfortunately, by the time you're 20, you learn all this stuff, but there's been some really expensive lessons that you've learned along the way.
That's the problem. You can end up
costing yourself money.
You can end up being quite far behind the eight ball just through ignorance rather than any malice. Brendan is from Bray Park. Now, Brendan, you work for a bank. What's your experience with schools?
Yeah, we've had the opportunity to work with some high schools and basically go in and talk about finances and stuff like that. So it just blows them away, this concept of saving a dollar a day equals $365 at the end of the year, and they have no idea how I got to that.
What? Jesus. Oh, really?
Jesus.
It's as easy as that.
Yeah, it's bringing them back to reality that, you know, if you want to save for your car, you know, you might have to put $5 away a week over the next 4 years through your high school, 5 years through your high school, and you'll get the car you want when you finish year 12, and their smiles just get bigger and bigger.
Oh, that's great. That's a great one, actually.
Okay, well, let's keep going. Melissa.
Yeah, let's move on.
Australian Industry Trade College. Hello, Melissa.
Hello, good morning.
That's a familiar name. I think you guys advertise on Triple M, don't you?
We do, quite regularly, yes.
Righto, what have you got to tell us?
We advocate that and put that into our curriculum, that our young people in maths, we actually give them a back to basics booklet, if you like, where we take a calculator away. So when they get out into the real world, they know how to measure and calculate in their head for, you know, real world situations. We teach them how to budget, save up for a car, wow. Move out. We teach them MIOB, so they actually know what a receipt, an invoice, whole deal. So it's very much based on life skills. They get out into industry. They're learning how to, you know, do handyman as well as prepare them for their trade. So
you find it, Melissa, really cool. Parents are so bloody busy. In the olden times, there used to be one-income families, okay? Everybody, both parents are working now, so they haven't got time. Yes. They're so buggered at night time to teach their kids all these bits and pieces skills. So you're virtually taking over that role.
Absolutely, yeah. It's so real world, so life skills. I just love it, and that's, you know, why I'm part of it. And I have two daughters that went to uni, and my second daughter actually did Maths B, and she couldn't do anything. She didn't know what super was. She didn't know what a pay packet was. She didn't know what a pay slip was, and I had to teach her all that. And I actually put her through some of the stuff that at my school teachers just so that she could understand real-world stuff. Yeah,
well, she was being taught to pass exams. That's what school is half the bloody time.
Well, thank you, Melissa. And I think that the government needs to start funding a national program teaching how to people to put Netflix on their television. Because the amount of phone calls that I'm getting from relatives...
It's your only area of expertise, mate.
The only thing I know how to do.
Yeah, but you do it so well, Ed Cavalier.
I can no longer help you, people. You're on your own. That's great calls. Yeah, that's good stuff.
Marto, Ed and Robin.
Righto. Well, I went down to the Origin Hotel. They don't give you much access to the players. They're all in Sanctuary Cove before they took off. Mm-hmm. They gave you about 40 minutes to kill and catch any Origin player. You couldn't ask him whatever you wanted to. And I could hear what all the other people were asking, rugby league questions, this, that. And it stuck in my mind how popular rugby league players' wives' blogs are.
Yes, they are, hugely so.
They are, aren't they?
Zoe Marshall.
Oh, they're enormous. They've changed the world, really. So I thought I'd check in with all the Origin players.
Good idea.
Do they stop their weeks down, and they are busy, do they stop down and have a look at all their fellow players' wives' blogs? Here we go. Matt Gillett.
All right, how many footballers' wives? This isn't my question. This is Ed Cavalier. Do you watch his show? Have you been paying attention?
No, really. I don't watch too much TV anymore.
That's good. I like that answer. How many footballers' wives' blogs do you read?
Zero.
That is the correct answer. Gillett, go well, mate.
That's Matt Gillett. Let's try Michael Morgan. He's a utility player, of course. Would he be a wife of other rugby league players' blogs reader?
What do you do? Do you read footballers' wives' blogs?
No.
All righty. Okay.
Anyway, for two, yep.
Corey Oates, do you reckon he'd be the type All right, let's
check. How many footballers' wives' blogs do you read each week?
Oh, none.
That's a common answer. Well, how do you get your skincare advice?
I don't.
You know?
I just, natural.
Yeah,
natural.
I think that's pretty obvious, actually.
Just natural.
Uh-huh. All right, how funny would it be if Corey Oates showed up at the Broncos looking like Alex Perry with the eyebrows and the big cheeks? That would be hysterical. Right.
If there's one person you thought maybe he'd have a look just to check out, Cooper Cronk, what about you?
Oh, yeah.
How many footballers' wives' blogs do you read each week?
Out of respect for them, none.
That's a wonderful answer. Cheers, mate. I'll get out of your way.
Out of respect for them.
What a great answer.
Considered. There is one more. Okay. The enforcer, the man who'll be controlling the central corridor at Suncorp next Wednesday night. Nate Miles. Now, he's married to a Home and Away actress, as we just said.
Tessa James.
He's a chance, isn't he?
Maybe.
He's sort of, he's crossing those things.
Are you sure?
I don't know.
Nate?
How many footballers' wives' blogs do you read each week?
I don't know if I'm allowed to swear, but I don't give a about any blogs from anyone's wife.
That's the most solid answer everyone's had.
I couldn't even tell you who's got a blog.
Oh, Nate!
Now, if there was a guy that should and would, it was him. Look at you go, Nate Miles.
Correct. Just when you think you couldn't like the Origin team anymore.
Read an interesting stat. In the last two censuses...
I don't know what it is.
I don't know what it is. Censuses.
All right. They're every 5 years, okay?
Yes.
The greatest increase in occupation status, okay, in what job you do, in both the last two censuses have been baristas in Australia. It's gone up the two censuses ago, then the last census it went up again.
Because it's become a thing. Yeah. Like it's a good career move
now. It's become a
now.
Thing, all right. They are the greatest wankers in Australia. You know that that's what I consider. No. I'm not. I have had one cup of coffee in my whole life, and I sit by and I observe, and I have to go and meet people sometimes, and it's always at a cafe.
Mm-hmm.
Being a non-coffee drinker, it goes something like this. If you're just, like most people are just say their silly coffee name, and then the barista goes to work, you know, they go... Yeah, they make that still look. Yeah, yeah. And that's like the announcement. Look over here. I am about to make a creation. Coffee. I'm about to create some magic. And then the like it's like the little siren. I'm about to start. I'm a genius. Just about. You're making a cup of coffee, mate.
Delicious.
Yeah,
I know.
I'm with you, Ed. It proves that they know what they're doing. They've got the theatre attached to it.
That means about to start work.
Oh,
that's what that
noise
means.
Doesn't.
It does so.
You're just a tea drinker. That's why.
Then I'll tell you what. You know what else? I don't even like hot chocolate, but I will not order. I don't order tea when I go to cafes.
Why?
Well, they give it to you in coffee mugs.
Well, you want it in a teacup so you can keep your little pinky
up?
Why
am I paying? Why do I have to pay the same amount? You get your. How long does it take? So you've got to have too much patience to be a coffee drinker. How long does it take them to make? And they put those stupid pagan symbols or
lovely.
A kiwi.
Yeah, lovely. They put a heart.
Pagan. What are they all? They're like
you're just sounding old and grumpy.
Tattoos, some of the things. Well, no, I'm not grumpy. It's just that I don't need the coffee, so I'm able to stand there and actually do an analysis on what they're up to. I've started drinking hot chocolate simply because it looks like coffee and I want to try to fit in a little bit.
Right.
Well, why am I paying $4 for a cup of tea when it takes 20 seconds and it's a cheap little bag and they're doing it? They actually do work. To build a cup of coffee takes some work. And I can understand why you should be slugged $4.
Okay, but if they make the tea out of tea leaves and they do it in a pot.
Not many of them do that. Well, I don't. I now... A lot of people, cross-dressers will understand this. I'll do it at home. I'll drink tea at home, but I'm not taking it out into public because it's just not... No, everyone looks down on you these days.
So the question you're asking, though, is...
It's what?
Why should tea drinkers...
Are we discriminating? I want tea drinkers discrimination.
Oh.
It, in a generation, it has changed completely where coffee drinkers have completely squashed tea drinkers.
I've seen tea for... $4, $4.50.
That's right.
Should tea cost less? That's our question.
50 cents it should be worth. Is anyone still drinking tea in public?
Yeah, but like Twinings have just done this massive big push and they've done design. They've got celebrities to design new their infusion range. Like
have
tea.
They?
Yeah.
Why haven't they gone on to me? I'm a tea drinker, so therefore, who are they marketing it to?
Yeah, but you just like a black tea, don't you?
I don't have anything with it.
No, so
I just throw the bag in and then drink the bugger.
They get Kevin Proctor to help.
Kevin Proctor.
Doesn't mind infusions.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
I don't know what you're
now
talking
you've sidetracked
about.
It. Listen, what price should tea be? It should only be 50 cents, in my belief. Happy with coffee at $4? You pay it, $3.50 or whatever, but tea in that regard
we're
should
doing
be 50
this,
cents.
Yeah, we're doing it. He's going in.
Sure. Well, I just want to know, is there any listeners who drink tea exclusively or nearly exclusively, and are we discriminated against, and what price should we be?
Great question.
Getting charged too much money. I asked for a cup of tea one day in one of those groovy cafes. He said, "Are you sure?" He tried to upsell me to chai because that's not a challenge. Is it not a big enough challenge for baristas? He said, "You sure you don't want a chai?"
Okay,
no, mate.
Let's get straight to it because Michelle's from Arana Hills and she's got a shocking statistic. Michelle, tell us about the tea that you saw.
Good morning. I am not a coffee drinker at all. I only drink tea and I went and got a takeaway tea probably 2 weeks ago. I got a large and I did get lactose-free milk, but it was just a Twinings tea bag, $6.
Dodgy.
Disgusting.
Terrible.
Fun thing.
Was it a crazy flavour?
Forget it.
Yeah.
Was it a crazy flavour? Was it
English breakfast?
English breakfast. Get me Tracy Grimshaw on the line.
Yeah, Grimish. Get Grimish on the line.
Mm.
It is disgusting.
Fair enough, Michelle.
I think we're saying something. I know not one person isn't a trend, but that's Michelle and I.
Edward of South Brisbane, what do you think about tea drinkers? Are you being ripped off?
Oh, I think Marta's exactly right. I only drink tea, and there's a major brand that I used to buy. It's one of the most expensive ones, but it is the nicest tasting. Mm. And if I'm going to have a cup of tea, I'd like to enjoy it. Most of the tea to me tastes dirty and brown. Yeah. But what they've done is they used to have a normal strength pack of 100, which was a certain price, and then they brought out an 80 box of extra strength, so you get 20 less bags. But they're extra strong, so you can put them in a bigger cup. But you're still paying the same price for 80% less.
Yeah. You're still paying.
That's got to be a rip-off. I don't care what anyone says.
Maltesers did that. I counted them on the Maltesers on the packet. There was more than what was inside the packet.
Yeah. That's a good one. Thank you, Edward.
I can't believe you counted the Maltesers.
Well, you know when you open up some chips and you go, is that it?
Yeah, that's true.
Michael of Durack, tell us about, are you a tea drinker?
Hello, yes, absolutely.
Do you get embarrassed when you go to the cafe sometimes by asking for tea? Do they make you feel inferior?
Not embarrassed. I mean, last time I went and got one, I haven't done it since, but they just gave me a blank look and, like, didn't say anything, but just, like, as the gentleman said before, are you serious? $5, not as expensive as the lady before, but $5 for a tea. Man, you know, a box of Billy tea costs, you know, what, $10?
That's right.
And two tea bags at a time, man. Yeah, no, I agree wholeheartedly.
Mate, a man after my own heart, I love the Billy tea. Good on you, Mike.
Okay. Right.
See?
Yeah,
tea?
All right. You've got four. Braun of your Manto. What do you reckon? You a tea drinker?
Yes, absolutely. I'm a Dilmah girl at home, but I have lots of T2 teas.
Yeah.
Buy a lot of T2. I refuse to buy tea out. Because I'm not paying price for it.
Yeah, you're like me. You'll drink tea at home, but you don't want to be humiliated anymore.
No, I'm not paying the price that they ask for a little tiny pot of tea.
We're onto something here.
What would happen if you BYO'd a bag to a cafe and said just a glass of
hot water?
Hot water, please. What would happen?
I do that on the weekends to footy. I'll take my own tea bags in my suit.
So you
just spend the weekend teabagging at the foot.
Yes.
That is dodgy,
Ed. Did you hear what Ed just said?
No. What'd you say, Edward? No.
Probably should move on.
it was a teabag type comment.
We're joined by Peter from Gloria Jeans Springfield. Pete, the great tea debate. What's your thoughts?
I guess there's more to it than just water and tea, okay? Mm-hmm. Before you even walk into the shop, you got your rent.
Yes.
Well, we're over $10,000 a month in rent.
Okay.
So there's a couple of dollars per customer.
Yeah.
Then you got your staff. The staff that, you know, you got to have, what, two people on? $50 an hour. Yeah. You got the same cups, yes. I know it's the same cups, Marto, but the cups, you've got to wash it up. You still got to have it ready for you.
Yes.
Still got to have it heated for you. And essentially, what's the difference between tea and coffee? Tea, there's a bit of process that goes into tea and hot water. What's coffee? Coffee is hot water passing through coffee beans.
So are you saying how much if I, are you a $4 or $5 a cup of tea, man?
Yeah, it's between $4 and $5.
Okay.
But all right, Pete, essentially, when you look at it, I think we should charge you more, actually, now that I think about it.
It's a great point, Pete. $10. $10 for Marto.
Love you,
That's from Peter from Gloria Jeans in Springfield. Thank you, Pete. Darren's here.
Hey, Darren.
Hey, Darren. Is this Logan Logan Village Bakery, Darren?
Yeah, g'day, how are you?
Oh, one of our favourites. Robin and I still talk about your pies, mate. They were sensational.
Oh, and your sweet stuff. I've got the sweet tooth. Marto takes care of the savouries. But what do you want to say about the tea debate?
Yeah, I'm a bit on your guys' side. Like, we charge 60 cents a cup less for tea because it doesn't take our staff as long to build a cup of tea as what it does to make a cup of coffee.
Wow. That's a really interesting statistic there. 60 cents less. What's the most expensive tea? Are they all the same price when you buy them from the wholesaler? Like, is chamomile the same price as English breakfast tea, Daz?
There is a little bit of difference, but it's not that much. Like, it's really not that much. And most people out our way just want a normal tea. They just want, like, just a normal tea. They're not into all the fancy stuff yet.
Okay. Can I just check what your source policy is on the bench there at Logan Village Bakery?
This is up for debate with me. I hate having to charge for sauce, but we have to. The council came through a few years ago and said we couldn't have the bottles of sauce.
No free pouring unless, because of the flies.
No, because of the sterilisation. We have to sterilise it after every single person. You know, puts it on their pie because it has to be sterilised every single time and has to be stored in a cool environment.
And the worst thing you want is to have to dip the nozzle of the sauce bottle into hand sanitizer before
imagine
the
that.
Next person uses it.
Like a barber with his combs.
Yeah.
Thanks, Darren. Love your work.
Logan Village Bakery. Just give it one more wrap there at Wharf Street down at Logan Village.
Okay, Sam of Brendale, you've also got some statistics for us. What are they?
My coffee cost me $28 a kilo.
How much?
My $28 a kilo for coffee. My tea cost me $17 per 100 grams.
Oh,
that's
does it?
That's a huge price discrepancy, Sam.
Have you got a cafe?
And that's loose. Yeah, I do. Loose leaf tea. We only use loose leaf tea. We don't use tea bags.
Ah, right. That's if you got to put it in a special, you know, the brew it on a tea.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, we do.
Sam.
But it's a huge difference in price. And we still only charge the same for coffee.
Oh. Okay, it's a massive disparity. What we've learned here is that tea is actually quite cheap. It should be about $300 a cup because it seems like an absolute rip-off. Sam,
oh, I'm doing well now, am I?
Yes,
give
you
us
are.
Sam's got to plug her business. Sam, what's the name of your cafe, Sam?
Platinum Cafe, Brenda.
Oh, yeah, you've been on before.
Yeah. Good on you, Sam. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you for calling, Sam. See ya.
Thanks for your tea call.
This is why. This is why. Marta, this is why we've been saying this for a long time. Hmm. You've just got to start drinking whiskey at 7 in the morning.
No,
he doesn't. Don't I wish.
More whiskey.
No.
More whiskey.
More whiskey.
Do you imagine how loose he'd be then?
It'd be funny. It'd be funny for all of us.
Yeah. This talk of Origin has made me remember, or it's made me admit something. Which bit of it did you find interesting?
Oh, there was a few times where Robin, like a classic, like, I spat my drink out.
Okay,
as he was telling
Well, tell me the story and I'll...
Daughter Hillary came up last weekend. Yes. Grandmother was dying and it was her 19th birthday because she was away last year on her year off, on her 18th. So we said, I'll come up, Dad, I'll take you to dinner. Went to dinner down at the Port Office Hotel with her and three of her mates and Kath, la, la, la. So we la-la-la'd for a while. And then at about 10:30, 11, you know, old people like me had to go, went home. The kids, all the girls, all went into Fridays, one of my old haunts.
Is Fridays
still going?
Did you just
go to Fridays?
Yes.
Exactly. Still going. They went into Friday.
Oh, my Lord.
So they get there about 11 or so, and I'd forgotten all about this because she got up the next day and told me all about it. All right. There's a little VIP area. She said, oh, Dad, I managed to get in the VIP area. I said, how'd that happen? Oh, I just wandered through. That sounds like a fairly loose VIP, like one of those just little ropes sort of thing.
Or Hilly's absolutely gorgeous, and they went, hey, we'll get you in here.
All right, so she said, Dad, do you know who Aaron Woods is?
He's the hairy bloke from the Tigers, isn't he?
Yeah, well, I know who he is. I'm just trying to work it out. So who played the Broncos last Friday night?
Tigers.
Oh. They went to Fridays afterwards. They're in the VIP area, which I guess the VIP area was probably invented to throw the Tigers in, sort of like a cage.
Yes.
Right. My daughter and her three mates are in there with the Tigers getting shouted drinks. That was the best thing about
it. What do you mean shouted drink? Who bought Hillary a drink?
Well, as you know, and I'll tell everyone else, Hillary lives in Leichhardt, which is heart of the Tiger Town.
Yeah, western suburbs of
Somehow Aaron Woods bought my daughter a drink. Hey. Said he was a great fella, and I'm prepared. Like, I don't know Aaron Woods. Probably a tremendous bloke. What are you Googling?
I'm Googling whether he's married or not. Keep talking.
I did ask that. She said, and her answer to that was, yes, he is, Dad. He's not sleazy at all. He grew up in Norton Street because she works at a pub in Norton Street, which is very family. He grew up in a newsagent with a single mum. She said, oh, he's an amazing character, Dad.
An amazing character.
Amazing character.
Aaron Woods. Aaron Woods is an amazing character.
That's a Hillary.
Elon Musk is an amazing character.
Oh, the Tesla guy.
Darth Vader is an amazing character. Aaron Woods is not an
Hang
amazing
on, though.
Character.
From a chick's point of view into this story, what I will say is if he told Hillary that he was married...
Yeah.
That's a really good thing.
Well, I'm not. Well, she didn't answer that question.
Nah.
She said he wasn't creepy or anything.
Yeah, but did she know from his mouth that he was married? Because
no.
If he said, I'm married, I just want to buy you. No. But if he's saying, if he's up front and just having a night out with the fellas.
He lives one street away from her.
Great. He told her that, did he?
Yeah.
Great.
Oh, no, they were talking about Leichhardt and where, you know, she's... Get out of the booing stuff. She was just hanging around with the Tigers and the Aaron Wood seemed to be.
And he wasn't sleazy.
I'd like to just defend him, that's all.
Good. Yeah, no. I'm really willing to defend someone who's willing to tell a young pretty girl in a nightclub at 3 o'clock in the morning that he's married. If he's doing that, I will defend
that
him
he did
also.
That. I can't confirm that and I don't want to slander the poor gentleman.
Good on him.
What's he doing out after a 36-0 loss?
Checking.
Buying drinks for chicks. Buying drinks for locals. Just making sure local young women are being looked after. What a great bloke.
Marto, Ed and Robin, the new Triple M.
I always get a little suspicious when Queensland Parliament sits overnight and you think, what laws did they pass?
Well, they're sneaking through.
What did I wake up and not know? Anyway, one of them, security cameras will remain mandatory for taxis but will not need to be installed in all personalised transport services under new laws. So that means Ubers, right? It says security cameras will be mandatory for taxis as well as all personalised transport vehicles that accept payments in cash or payment in person during the journey. That's not Ubers.
Why the difference? What's
I don't know. Unlike Ubers, something which will be reviewed in 18 months. So why wouldn't you force an Uber to have a camera? I think that's a really good... Why wouldn't you? I think if they've got issues around safety of Ubers, then wouldn't you...
Are there issues around safety of Ubers?
Oh, I think I'm more comfortable if a taxi or an Uber had a camera.
Can I just... You know, a lot of people say you can track it, and you can on your phone. You can track any Uber exactly where it is. And I used to enjoy that when I was doing Ubering. Now I'm not. You can still do the same thing with... They know where every one of their cars is at every second of the
taxis.
Day. Taxis, yeah.
Yeah, but at least if something were to happen. And, you know, I think they put the cameras in the cabs to more protect the cabbies than they do to protect the passengers.
Sure. Yeah, that's not for passengers.
But do you want your Ubers to have cameras?
I'm going to go one story that happened recently where someone in my family got an Uber home very, very late at night after a night out. And the next day, they went back to their house. And the next day, they got a call from the neighbor, their next door neighbor, to say, come over and have a look at my security vision, please.
Whoa.
This person has a tradie, Marto, and that his gear has been stolen 3 times out of his car out the front of his house. So he now has to have cameras and he's trying to put a garage.
Righto.
You know.
Yeah.
Anyway, Robin, they watched the footage. And this young bloke got out of the Uber, went into the house, locked the door. You know, the Uber driver waited till he went inside, then went and defecated in the bushes of the neighbor's house and had toilet paper in the boot of the car for just such an occasion.
I'm prepared.
That's not good.
Wow. Okay. I can see why we're talking.
Okay.
Quietly. Are you saying
we're
that
whispering
doesn't happen?
In case anyone hears.
Has that never happened with the cabbie?
I'm just saying that... If the Uber driver thought that the cameras were on, they may not have done that. Now,
that's true.
There's more to that story which we can talk about another day. But
No.
Imagine being the neighbour. Someone's crapped in my bush.
You'd just think it was a big dog, wouldn't you?
No. It was.
Well, dogs
don't
use toilet paper. Yeah,
let's go. Yeah, here comes Nathan. Nathan, have you? Oh no, I'm assuming this is about Uber, not about the yard.
Were they your shrubs, Nathan?
Hey, Nathan.
Hello.
Nathan.
Hello.
Yeah. What would you like to say about Ubers?
Oh, no, you were just talking just before about you reckon that Uber needs a camera and you feel safer with the camera. The reason that Uber has no cameras is because they have all your details from your direct debit card already in their system, so they know where you live.
Oh, yeah. If you do it, there's no such thing as a runner, so they don't...
Right.
Yeah, and the reason you need a camera for a cash payment is any Joe bloke can jump in with cash.
You know what I saw the other day? I hopped off the plane in Melbourne.
Thanks, Nathan.
The cab's down there. Oh, Nathan can stay involved if you want. Hey, hopped in the cab in Melbourne. You've got to prepay between 10 p.m. and 5 a.m. on weekends or maybe every night.
Yep.
There's a sign in the cab. Got to prepay because they don't trust anyone anymore after 10 p.m.
See, silly me. I thought the cameras were all there for the punters.
No. Check who's doing turds around the suburbs.
Correct.
I tell you what, the paper's got this. Claire had it there, the showdown between Bennett and Walters, whether it's true or not. Well, let's check, because apparently Wayne Bennett's going to front Kevvy Walters and say, what's going on with Milford? This is a disgrace. Is it all just nonsense, Dobbo?
Oh, guys, I think really, look, there's a little bit of truth behind it, but fair dinkum. Do you try and do the best for your state, or do you worry about a club game in New Zealand? That's what everybody needs to look at. Wayne Bennett was of the understanding that Jonathan Thurston would make a decision on his shoulder by today. Now, if he was right to play, Anthony Milford would get on a plane to New Zealand to play the Warriors on Saturday night. Thurston's shoulder is improving dramatically, but they're still not 100% sure, so they're going to give him all the way, as you would do for any State of Origin player that's the best in the world, right up to game day, which means they need to keep Milford in the camp, so he's not going. Wayne Bennett feels like he's been told a mistruth. Kevy doesn't really care because he's the state coach, and, mate, we're now reading about it in the paper.
Hey, Dobbo, normally this happens, though, when you've got a slightly injured player, you pick him in the 17 and then have a standby who does the training. This is flipped around, so it looks like Kevy's taken advantage of the situation.
Well, that's only because Wayne said, unless you name Anthony Milford in the 17, yeah, he's going to New Zealand. So probably Wayne probably should chose his words a little better to start off with.
Okay, so whose side are you on? Kevy or Wayne's?
Oh, well, Kevy, he's part of the Triple M family.
That's very true, Dom. That is very true, Dom. And listen, you've got to, in Sydney, there, all you read in the Sydney papers and hear on their radio now is that there's a lot of infighting. The Queensland started infighting, Dobbo. Does it feel to you, who knows a lot of players and a lot of coaches, does it feel as though it's less united than it normally is?
It might be. That might be only off the back of Bob Catter's mad rant that he went on with. But, I mean, other than that, I've never known. They are as happy as they've ever been. I've been in camp. Marta, you've seen them as well. There's absolutely no rift. It's all from the outside. I spoke to Kevin Waters last night. Mate, happy as Larry. Said, is it going as well as you want?
Yeah, good. Great. Excellent. That's what we want to hear.
But the problem is Wayne Bennett. He has changed, Dobbo, over the last few years. Wayne Bennett has become a more divisive figure.
Well, he's speaking a lot more, and he's actually, you know, like, he's a very smart man, Wayne. Let's not take it away from him. But, I mean, in this scenario, really, I mean, Benji, they've got a side. They're going over to New Zealand.
They've got Cody Nikorima on the bench.
Mate, and look at the halves. Ben Hunt, Benji Marshall. They'd be a first-grade half starting side anywhere else other than the Broncos. I think they've got a young team. They're going, wouldn't it be great for the club, a young side going over to New Zealand, come back with the 2 points, and Anthony Milford, whether he plays or not, gets 10 days in with the best players in the world. And when you get him back, he's twice the player.
All the Ford pack gets to say hello to their aunties and uncles. That's great.
Thank you, Dobbo.
Thank you, Dobbo.
Have a great day, guys.
See ya. Is anyone on Wayne Bennett's side? Like, anyone?
Maybe it's just us because we're close to Kevy. Whereas I couldn't give a stuff about Wayne anymore.
But people care about the Broncos.
About the Broncos, yes, but not about Wayne Bennett. He has changed.
Question, though. Where do you sit on this? Where do you stand on this issue?
He's like a spoiled child, Wayne Bennett.
But do you think it's fair enough if he was told, if Wayne Bennett was told, hey, listen, there's going to be a decision by this day, and then there wasn't a decision on that day, he's still trying to win a premiership for Brisbane.
Yeah, but remember when he coached Origin for so many years and he was great success at it, he used to have cannon fodder. He'd have half a dozen players hanging around training that weren't in the squad, just using them as cannon fodder.
But don't you think that because he does actually understand the processing that goes involved with the State of Origin team, that that's why it gives more credibility to the fact that he's upset now? It's not like he's just a random coach that's on the sideline like a petulant child going, look at me, look at me.
Team Wayne or Team Kevy? Oh, don't worry about that. Team Wayne or Team Kevy?
Let's not forget Wayne Bennett in 2004 or 5 sacked Kevin Walters as his assistant coach.
But then they were roommates in Newcastle. Remember when we used to speak to Kevy?
That's right. But then last year, Wayne Bennett said to Kevy, I'll get you down there, and then reneged on the whole thing. Was that last year or 2015?
Well, Kevy's landed on his feet. So here's Dave from the Sunny Coast. Which team are you on, Dave?
Yeah, mate, Kevy all the way.
Why?
Yeah, 2 points was one, as Mano just said. Kevy was supposed to come in there because the best Hunt and Milford have ever played was under Kevy as their halves coach.
As the halves coach.
And then, so when he was going to pull him back in, it was a week before it meant to happen. They got old Joe from New Zealand on the hoochie or whatever he was, come on over and train up the boys.
Yeah, that's true. That was Joe Weber, the footy whisperer.
So you know what I mean? He did the deal, and Wayne just seems to be all about. Wayne's always been about Wayne, I think, but he certainly is about him at the moment.
Thanks, Dave.
Okay. Thank you.
You remember Kevy? Don't forget he was at Melbourne Storm, coach Cooper Cronk.
True.
Well.
The anchor of Manly. Team Wayne, Team Kevy.
Team Wayne for sure. All the way.
Why?
I just love him. I just think I was real happy when he came back to the Broncos, and
he's done us proud, and also, you know, his job is to win a premiership, and he wants his best players, and I think he does look after his team wherever he goes.
How long since we won a premiership, Bianca?
Oh, I'm not saying that I'm saying that's his job. I'm not saying that we may be on our way too with him.
Yeah, maybe.
Thank you. So appreciate that, Bianca. Look, it's safe to say when...
Can you like both of them?
Yeah, you can.
But where's the fun in that?
Barry from Warner, which team are you on?
Yes, mate. I'm going on for Kevy's team.
Yeah.
Why?
Why is that?
Why? It's for Queensland. It's the whole state, not just one club team. We've got more clubs in Queensland. So, yeah, it's just all the best players are for Queensland.
Well, if we're fair dinkum, Origin is the pinnacle of rugby league, correct? Australia isn't.
Yep.
State of Origin is, and Kevy's the coach of our team.
Yeah. That's right. So go for Queensland and Kevy.
Okay.
Everyone else should feed into it, whether you're Paul Green at the Cowboys, whether you're Neil Hendry or Wayne Bennett, feed into the whole system. This is the pinnacle.
Michael of Jim Boomba, what do you reckon?
Hey, guys. I'm on Wayne's side in this, to be perfectly honest.
Why?
I think there's a fair bit of anti-Wayne sentiment going on out there in the media, and I think kind of everyone's bought into it without really forming their own opinion on what's going on.
In what way? You've stunned Mato into silence. Explain yourself.
there was a few things a few years ago that Talis used to bring up about Wayne, which he likes to do at every opportunity.
Yeah.
And I think,
he loves his feud. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think Paul Kent really got his back up earlier this year with all the Benji Marshall stuff, and I think ever since then there's just been dirt after dirt being thrown at Wayne, and yeah, he's taking it well. He's taking it with a class like he does, and staying, as solid and diplomatic as he can on the thing. But I reckon he's just out there doing his job, and I think he's got a fair point to say if Milford's going in there with no intention of actually being played and disrupting the Broncos, how many players do we need to have out? We've got six.
Okay.
How many more do they want?
Thank you, Michael.
Appreciate that. Anyone ringing in saying their team Benny Elias?
No Elias calls.
No.
Has
anyone ever rung in and said team Benny Elias?
I think we're still waiting for that call.
Could be anyone.
So you were predicting, Brendo, that it would be 100% towards Kevy. That doesn't seem to be the case.
Yeah, a lot closer than you might think. 60% team Kevy, which means 40% team Wayne. So there's a few
Wayne Bennett's
buying.
Earned that over the years. He's earned a lot of credit over the years, Wayne Bennett.
Yeah, and I wonder how much of this is based on personality, like whether you like the fella or not.
Well, how much is it based on, let's just say it, how much is it based on him leaving his wife and running away with the doctor's receptionist?
That's recency. Maybe some recency
Mate, that,
bias.
That
does that impact you?
That flavours my opinion of Wayne Bennett. Yes,
there you
it
go.
Does.
That's a personal...
Mate, he's made himself out to be a family man forever, and this on that. He's been away from home forever, go with St George and Newcastle, and then he leaves his wife. That didn't sit well with me.
You're on your opinion, Mato. Well done.
I'm on my own, probably.
Plus, he really sullied his coaching record with Newcastle. I mean, goodness me.
That's Newcastle, though,
yeah,
mate.
That's their fault.
Newcastle.
Mato, Ed and Robin, the new Triple M.
Can I just talk about one thing? In the darkest hour when things like this happen, humans come together in the most strong way. And you saw images, I think, out in front of Manchester City Hall, those people laying wreaths and stuff. In other parts of the city, blokes got together at pubs and would have been scratching their heads going, what the hell is going on in our city?
What a wonderful English thing to do.
I know. And can I, before we get into this, can I describe English Rugby Union? This song was invented. It's sort of a slave song, but the English Rugby Union, it is their number one song. Swing low, sweet chariot, come in for to carry me home. All right, that's a very famous English rugby song.
Okay.
Every other nation, mainly Welsh and Scottish, they sing a song which goes something along the lines of, and there is some swearing involved, you can stick them effing chariots up your arse. Okay? that's how they respond after Swing Low, Sweet Chariots has been sung.
Okay.
It's become a very famous anti-song forever, this stick your effing... All right,
gotcha.
Yesterday at a pub, there was sort of a think tank, I think, on how we're going to hit back at ISIS, and these blokes got together. And English pubs, you were able to walk out onto the road. There was about 100 of them outside the pub, and one of them started singing. And it kept going and going. It's the best anti-ISIS song I've ever heard. Hit it.
You can stick your f***ing ISIS on death. icing on your pie. You can stick your f***ing icing. Stick your f***ing icing. Stick your f***ing icing on your
Oh, change of temper.
Yeah.
Imaginative.
If I was a judge on The Voice, I'd turn for those blokes. All right, you're all through to the next round.
Marto, Ed and Robin, the new Triple M.